Hi, my name is Vince Miller. I am 61 years old, and today is November 25th, 2018, and I'm speaking with my mother, who is 90 years old today, born November 25th, 1928, and we are recording this interview in Dallas, Texas. So, Mom, I've always wondered, being born in 1928, what was it like for you and your family to go through the Great Depression?
Well, my dad's business fell off. To begin with, I was probably about 10 months old when the Depression really hit, and so I don't actually have any memories, but, you know, that I can recall consciously of that exact period. But I know in the early 30s, my dad's business, he was a small business owner, failed, and the house and car that they were buying at the time of the Depression were recalled by the bank, and we all had to go live with my dad's mother in a small garage apartment over in Oak Lawn. And I just remember that my mother was very depressed most of the time, and that she slept a lot. And I remember that Dad had to walk from Oak Lawn to downtown Dallas to work every day.
Wow.
And would come home very tired. And I would be up in the pecan tree in the front yard waiting for him to come home every night. And it kind of made him laugh, so
things didn't
go too well. And then...
So you like climbing pecan trees, the pecan tree in the front yard, huh?
Yeah, well, yeah. I had a lot of experience climbing the pecan tree and getting caught lost in the woods across the street from our house, much to my mother's disappointment. And I had many adventures as a child and ended up in Turtle Creek swimming with my friend without anybody's permission. And I remember the fireman at the top of the bank of the creek saying, "Oh, there the girls are."
Oh, wow.
So that was kind of a big moment, but it was cool. It was cool. It was August in Texas, and, you know, the creek was cool.
The way to get cooled off,
Yeah. The policeman said, the fireman said it would have been a good way to get drowned, too. So, you know.
You were probably about how old at that point when you were in Turtle Creek?
Three or four years
old. Wow. So that's a pretty early memory.
And that other girl's mother never would let us play together after that.
That was it. Sounds like you were a pretty adventurous soul at that period of time.
Yes,
right?
And so I was a very adventurous soul.
Even though the whole backdrop was like this Great Depression and struggles your family was going through still as a child, I guess you're just trying to enjoy it and trying to, you know, make the best of it, right?
Well, it kept the adults busy so I could spend some time having fun doing what I wanted to do. And ended up getting in trouble a lot of times. But it was a sad time for all the adults in my family. And, of course, my parents losing their source of income and their home and their car was quite a blow to us.
But
we came out of it.
One of the other big events that you lived through during that period of time was the World Wars, you know, that we have, especially World War II. What do you remember about that period of time? You were in your, I guess, in high school?
Junior high. Well, I'm 41. I was in junior high when the war started. I just remember not really understanding what it meant to be in war and watching all the adults really get worried.
Mm-hmm.
And then I learned about rationing. And I think the adults were more worried about that than I was. I never went hungry or without sleep or any of those things. But it was an interesting time to be alive. And, of course, I went through high school. I got out of high school right before the war ended, or the first, the war in Germany. And my older cousins went to war, and I was upset about that, but fantastically enough, there were four of them, three boy cousins on my mother's side and one boy cousin on the other side. They all came home without any injuries or no fatalities. A very lucky family.
Yeah.
But I sure hated this. That was a very serious thing for me. I really was unhappy about that.
Oh, yeah.
Because they were nice people to know.
Yeah. Well, let's turn to think of some happier times. What were some of the happiest, like one of the happiest memories you can think of?
Well, high school was a lot of fun for me. I really enjoyed high school.
You went to kind of a special school here, right? It was like a technical school of some kind?
I got special permission. My mother got me special permission to go to N.R. Crozier Technical High School here in Dallas. We had a commercial artist who had designed and worked with the founding of the Chicago World's Fair in 1936. He was an outstanding commercial artist.
Wow.
And Tech had talked him into teaching because he had moved here with his wife, and he had decided to teach. And he was a fantastic teacher, and I just enjoyed every class I had with him, and was bound and determined to be a commercial artist. And sort of bound and determined to go to college, too, so all of it kind of got rolled into a confusing question sometimes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But that was happy times. The high school years were happy.
What were
some of the things you were doing that made you happy during that time? Just friendships?
Just laughing and cutting up with all the kids my age. Mm-hmm. The boys didn't have to go to war yet. We were right the year before the cutoff age, so we still had... And they were all fun, and everybody was laughing and having a good time. And I love my classes. I love the idea of being able to select my own classes. And I just learned a lot in high school. I really, and that's Dallas Independent School District. I know nobody can believe you learn anything. But I really had a fairly easy time in college because that was such a good learning experience for me. Mm-hmm. And I just remember some of the teachers as just being fantastic people.
Yeah. Well, that's really neat. Thinking back on a little bit, you've already mentioned one of your memories as a child was the swimming in Turtle Creek. Any other adventures you got into as a child? You were apparently a pretty adventurous child. So were there other things that seemed like you told me once about that one of the neighborhood parents wouldn't let their child play with you? Was that after the Turtle Creek thing?
That was the Turtle Creek playmate. And in that same neighborhood, the other thing that kind of didn't work out so well, there was nobody around to play with, and my mother was asleep, as I said, and I went up the alley and was just kind of looking for something to do, and I saw this dog in the backyard, and he was behind an 8-inch chain link fence, and so, hey, what the heck, I started climbing the 8-foot
fence,
and it turned out he was a German police dog who had a job to protect the woman of the house.
Oh, wow.
And this kid climbing up the fence was just one of those horrible things that was going to happen. And he jumped up that fence and pulled me by the neck down to the ground. And by the time everybody responded to my screams, he had already bitten me on the neck, which I had as a mild scar for many years. It's kind of disappeared now with the age that we're talking about. But that was a big moment. And what is really funny about it is I really wasn't scared of dogs after that. I mean, I was mad at that dog for ruining my afternoon. And I mean, I was really mad at him. He got all those adults there and got them all screaming and hollering, and I didn't have any more fun that day. I could have just kicked that dog. Ruined my day completely. And I've never been afraid of dogs. And people tell me experiences that are not anywhere near that terrain. They're all never want to get around a dog again.
You've been an animal lover, and especially a dog lover, all your life since I've known you.
So it's kind of a funny thing there, isn't it? I don't know. I'll have to think about that a little.
Instead of looking at it as a close call, it was just an event that kind of ruined your day.
Kind of a Ferris Bueller kind of day, and here this big guy, we could have had so much fun playing balls and petting him and doing all that stuff, and he got all grumpy on me. I was really mad at him after that. I never went to play with him anymore.
Wow.
And you can bet your boots I didn't after the parents hollering about whose fault it was and everything, and I just went on home.
let them work all that out.
Yeah,
right?
Let them work out. I was mad already.
Well, jumping around a little bit, kind of getting back to your later years, you mentioned going to the technical high school and commercial arts, right? And you told me about somebody that influenced you to sort of change some of your goal in life. Can you tell us about that?
Yeah, that was, I met him through being in the hospital with kind of an unrelated incident. It was Dr. Arthur Schwenkenberg. He was a psychiatrist who had the Beverly Hills Sanitarium out in Oak Cliff. And he came in and talked to me, and I ended up going out there to work after I got out of college as a, not as one of the big professionals, but just kind of doing some associate social work. And I got to talking to that man, and I thought, I want to know everything that that man knows. He is absolutely a fabulous man.
Yep.
So I changed from commercial art to psychology and sociology, and went into social work, and never really thought about commercial art again. Even though I still love to draw and paint, and have done signs for people and things like that.
Well, I remember growing up, you were always into the arts and crafts with our little Cub Scout troop and stuff like that, and we were always doing those kind of special projects. And you know, I remember a few posters that I was putting together as a child that kind of got some specific help from a pretty talented person that, you know,
made a big splash. Did portraiture on here. Lady and I did portraiture on here for the school fair to earn money, you know, for the school.
Yeah.
We did portraits, and they probably turned out all right.
I remember doing the silhouette things and stuff like that that you were doing, so there was a lot of that kind of talent in there. But I guess from that point, you focused on the social work in terms of your formal education at SMU, right?
Yeah, right.
You end up going into social work right after that, after college?
Yeah, I did. Dr. Schwenkenberg had me working out at the hospital until my appointment with the State Department of Public Welfare came through.
Yep.
He had to take a test then to qualify, and they had to grade my test and then put me in line with all the other applicants.
Yep.
And I finally got an appointment in Dallas and quit Dr. Schwenkenberg's place in a hospital and went to work for the State Department of Public Welfare as a caseworker.
Oh, yeah.
But it wasn't very long.
Yeah. But you had done really well in college, too, right? You told me a story about this controversy of valedictorian, didn't you?
Oh, that was high
time?
School.
That was high school.
Oh,
okay.
That was high school, yeah.
What was the deal with that again?
A guy in my class and I tied for valedictorian, and the senior sponsor called me in and asked me if I would concede my tie and let him get it for himself, and I said, well, I would ask my parents if they cared, and I said, and why couldn't we just tie for it? It would be two valedictorians. Well, that wouldn't look good on his resume, you know, and all that. And I was just going to get married and have kids anyway.
Oh, wow.
He actually said that to me, which would probably have landed him in court these days.
Oh, yeah.
And so my mother and dad and I all looked at each other and said, well, we really didn't care. So we let the boy have it. And
But you were actually counseled to let him have it because that it would be useful for him, but not useful for you, I guess.
Yeah, because I'd just be having, I'm getting married and having children.
Wow.
No.
Okay.
It's kind of, our school song went something like, in whose halls we now are learning storms of life to ride. And I think I really learned something.
That was one of those storms of life right there, right?
I really learned a good lesson then.
Wow. That's amazing.
It really was. The more I thought about it, the less I liked it.
But the so that was, I guess, after that point, though, is where you were already headed for college after high school. You'd already decided to go into SMU, but then you did. So the influence to change your major to the social sciences was after you'd started college, I guess.
Oh, yeah, after my sophomore year.
Sophomore year.
I took a gap year between my sophomore and junior year, and I came back just totally used all my art hours as outside hours and really got by without losing a single hour, if you can believe it.
Wow.
Had a marvelous counselor, marvelous experience, and I'm sure nobody knew what the heck I was doing.
By off year, you mean you were out of off campus, not taking classes, but you were still working on the art, you're saying, during that period of time, or?
Oh, no, I was really pretty much just staying at home
and
doing stuff, but I wasn't enrolled in any school or anything.
Was that a normal thing to take that on off year?
Oh, no, huh?
Oh, okay.
I got sick, and two or three months into the school year and dropped without prejudice. Was able just right before you could drop without showing a failure.
Oh, okay.
And decided to put off my junior year a year and kind of get all rested up, get all fired up again, and came back and started on my social work thing.
Oh, okay. So that, I see that, that's what you were telling me then, so the influence happened while you were getting treated for not, for the illness you
had. Yeah, by the person that I met while I was in that process, you know.
Yeah.
They had me in the hospital and stuff like that, so I met a lot of different people.
Yeah.
A lot of people who smoked, and I enjoyed all the smoke, and now I've got the benefits of secondary smoke.
Yeah, yeah.
No, but it was a good time, really, in my life, and I learned a lot from that, too.
Sure.
And came back, and although SMU didn't have a social work program, my one of my wonderful professors provided me with a supervised field experience there in Highland Park, and yeah, everybody worked with me. It just turned out real good.
That's great. Well, you know, a short little interview like this can't touch, near touch, all the events of life. We haven't even gotten into, you know, your later marriage and having four children and all the traveling around you did as with a young family. But so I wanted to, we'll do that another session if it's okay with you. But I wanted to close this session out with just asking you, like today on your birthday, as you're beginning your 91st year today, you know, thinking about your family many generations from now and knowing if they may hear this recording, is there anything you would want to say to them, to future generations, any wisdom or advice you'd like to share for future generations?
Well, you know, what you do seems to change about every 5 seconds. It's like we live in a kaleidoscope world. But I'd say the main thing, I think, is to have fun. And I don't mean at the expense of not learning anything and sitting around and drooling or anything.
Sure.
But having fun. Go to the woods. You're going to learn a lot in the woods that you wouldn't learn if you didn't go. And go and have a good time and carve your initials in a tree and jump in the creek. Snake almost got me one time, and I climbed up a 5-foot bank so fast you didn't know I had another propeller. And I'm just saying there's a lot of things to be learned while you're having fun, too, and be sure you go swimming a lot you know, just make sure that whatever makes you laugh and feel good about being there that one day, you know, go ahead and do it. You know.
Right.
As long as it doesn't hurt anybody else.
Right.
Hopefully not yourself. You know, too much fun.
Sure, right, right, yeah. Well, that's real good advice, I think, you know. Just stay positive and just enjoy life. And
you just really got to enjoy life, or somewhere down the line, the seriousness of it all is going to get you, and you're going to break down when you're like a middle age and everything, and everybody's going to wonder what happened, and you've been so serious all along. And I really don't think, I think you need to just have a little time to kick your heels up, you know?
Well, I've really enjoyed being able to spend this day with you in this kind of weekend. We've had a family weekend, you know, celebrating. You did your 90 tour and been around to see your great-grandchildren, and it's been good. And so I've enjoyed having this time just with us, the close family here, this last couple of days, just sort of celebrating, you know, your life, you know. And
well, did you mention that I had four great-grandchildren?
Four great-grandchildren, right, yeah.
I really do a lot of thinking about that.
Yeah.
I hadn't seriously thought about being 90 until I thought about having four great-grandchildren.
Right, right, yep.
And they're all adorable and just really wonderful. They're going to make wonderful contributions.
Sure, you bet. And one of the things that we wanted to give you as a family, of course, was some memories showing some of those, some of the big events that have happened over that 90 years since 1928. And one of the things that we came up with as sort of a message I just wanted to repeat for you today as kind of a way to sort of honor the event was to say that we look back on the past memories. And we make memories today, right, which has always been something I think you, just as you said, be happy and have fun. So celebrating the memories of yesterday and then enjoying making memories today and looking ahead to all the happy tomorrows that we'll have forevermore.
Yeah, totally.
And I think that's what I'd like to end this interview, just looking forward to you know, celebrating today and the memories we made today and all the pictures we have in this recording, and then looking ahead to all the tomorrows that we're going to also have as well.
Let's grab hands and skip into tomorrow, then we're going to have a lot of fun.
Let's do that. All right. Nice talking to you, Mom.
Good to talk to you.
All right, so
probably lasted a little longer than you expected.
Well, no, it was pretty good. It was a 20-minute interview, and then